Alrighty, folks. Well, I hope that you had a wonderful Labor Day. Over the weekend, I had the opportunity to speak with Larry Elder, longtime friend and maybe future California governor. Here is what that sounded like. I think you'll enjoy it. As you know, I value a good night's sleep. I need it. Frankly, I'm a very busy person, a lot going on. My kids wake me up all the time. I need a great pillow to give me a great night's sleep. And this is why I love MyPillow. Well, MyPillow does more than merely pillows. MyPillow didn't stop by creating the best pillow. They created the new Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel great. That means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for a busy schedule. MyPillow found the world's best cotton. It is called Giza cotton. It is ultra soft and breathable. It's extremely durable. MyPillow sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee, a 10-year warranty. That's a long warranty right there. The first night you sleep on the Giza sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else. The Giza Dream sheets, they come in a variety of sizes and colors as well. We have lots of MyPillow product at our house. We love everything that they produce. MyPillow's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream sheets. You'll receive a set for as low as $49.99. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the Radio Listener Square, use promo code DAILYWIRE. There, you will find not only this incredible offer, but also deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 1-800-651-1148. Use promo code DAILYWIRE. Go to MyPillow.com. Make sure you use that promo code DAILYWIRE. There's no question that Democrats outnumber Republicans in California. The problem is Republicans are super motivated to go to the polls and get rid of Gavin Newsom. And Democrats are kind of like, eh, on Gavin Newsom. And when you look at the polls, one of the things that's truly shocking is Latino voters are really eh on Gavin Newsom. They really don't care about his fate, which means that Gavin Newsom is in serious trouble. Now, it would be preferable to get to a time in California where a Republican could win a gubernatorial election just outright without having to go through the recall process. But it seems as though because California is such a one-party state and the entire legislature is dominated by Democrats, because of all of that, the only way that that conservatives ever get a shot is if people are sort of blindingly awakened to what is happening in their state. And that usually happens around one particular incident. In this case, it was probably Gavin Newsom over at the French Laundry, demonstrating full scale that there is one rule for the elites and one rule for everybody else. But it seems as though the bad administration of the state for the last 15, 20 years has really collapsed in on Gavin Newsom. And Larry Elder could be the beneficiary. Remember, there are two questions on the ballot. One, do you recall Gavin Newsom? Two, who should replace him? We are joined on the line by the leading candidate to replace Governor Gavin Newsom in California, Larry Elder, of course, my longtime buddy, my radio mentor. First radio show on which I ever appeared was Larry's on KABC in Los Angeles many years ago. I still have a picture of that on the wall, actually. He joins us on the line right now. His flagship daily radio program, The Larry Elder Show, is heard every weekday in all 50 states on more than 300 stations. Larry, great to talk to you.
You too, Ben. Thank you for having me.
So why don't we begin with the state of the race? So the polls tend to show this thing is pretty narrow for Gavin Newsom. You're sort of running a weird race in the sense that you're running against Gavin Newsom, but not really, because he has to be recalled in order for you to even your position on the ballot to even matter. So what are the polls telling you right now?
Well, right now the polls are saying that on the recall side, it's about 50-50. Half of the people want him gone, half the people want him there. But the recall side has picked up momentum in the last couple of weeks. So I think it's an excellent chance he's going to be recalled. And as you point out, after he's recalled, whoever gets the greatest number of votes to replace him becomes the next governor. And I'm far, far ahead of my rivals on that end.
There is a certain hilarity to a Republican libertarian like you, Larry, being elected through the recall process. And I can't imagine the immense joy that I will experience at seeing you take the oath of office at the Capitol will be just wonderful. Let's talk about Gavin Newsom and why he fell apart here. So a few years ago, Gavin Newsom was the bright shining light of the Democratic Party. There were feelings, just like Ray Davis back in 2000, there were feelings that Gavin Newsom was going to be the future of the Democratic Party. He was eventually going to run for president. And then things kind of collapsed in on him like a house of cards. I remember signing the recall petition before I ended up leaving the state back in 2020. And at the time, there was sort of a nascent movement. What really kicked it into high gear?
I think it was a time he was at the French Laundry restaurant. He was sitting up there with the lobbyists who drafted the mandates that they were not following by not wearing masks, by not engaging in social distancing. And it was the hypocrisy. He had his own kids enjoying in-person private education. He mandated that you wear masks outdoors. He had his own kids at summer camp. They were not wearing masks outdoors. He exempted his own winery from the lockdowns. And about a third of all small businesses are gone forever. And people were just angry at the hypocrisy. You know about the status of our government schools here in California. 75% of black boys before the pandemic could not read at state levels of proficiency. Almost half of third graders could not. And they were denied a whole year of in-person education. And that was the anger. People already knew that they were falling behind, falling even further behind. While he was sitting up there incurring a $12,000 wine tab and, again, having his own kids enjoying in-person private education. So it was the hypocrisy that really got people angry.
And one of the things that's been fascinating, Larry, is that was almost just the foot in the door for the amount of anger at Gavin Newsom. Because after that, it seems as though he's been spending every day almost highlighting his own failures, right? He's spending days with photographers like down cleaning up trash at homeless encampments. I mean, that's been a major issue in California for at least a decade. And he's spending time, you know, doing things like talking about crime that have been major issues in California for longer than he's actually been governor. But it seems like none of that came home to roost until the recall effort really got ahead of steam.
Well, that's right. Just the other day in Oakland, Barbara Boxer, the former senator, got mugged. Her cell phone was taken. I'm not laughing, but the days earlier, the Oakland police chief held a press conference and talked about all the money being diverted from his police department because of this defund the police movement. And a few months before that, Gavin Newsom was attacked by a mentally ill homeless person. So crime is up something like 40-50% in Oakland, in San Francisco, in Los Angeles, and violent crime, talking about shootings and homicides. And then you have the outrageous rise in homelessness. The fact that for the very first time, the average price of a home in California, Ben, has hit $800,000. That's 150% above the national average. Rolling brownouts because of the failure to invest properly in our energy grid and the severity of these fires because he's done poor forest management. And believe it or not, we're running out of water in this state. So you add it all up and people have just absolutely totally had it.
And Larry, one of the things that's so amazing is having been literally a lifelong resident of California until I abandoned the state. The reality is that all of these problems, as you say, were a long time in coming. I mean, I remember when there were water crises 10, 15 years ago, and there's a lot of talk about Governor Jerry Brown, why he needed to build more reservoirs, how we needed to stop worrying so much about the Delta smelt and make sure that we were getting enough water to the places it needed to go to, how the Central Valley had been completely starved of water by successive Democratic administrations. The same thing was being said about California wildfires, which were an issue a long time ago. Have these things just gotten worse, or have people just started to notice them?
I think it's a little bit both. They've gotten worse, and people have started to notice them. And it all kind of happened all at once. And this governor has mismanaged the state in ways that are profound. We have something called the Education, Employment Development Department, $30 billion stolen, money that should have been given to people that were unemployed because of the lockdown mandates. And the money was given to prisoners who applied for unemployment benefits and to foreign criminals like people in Nigeria who were applying to unemployment benefits. And they got them before the 1 million people in California were sitting around waiting for their unemployment benefits. Then he did a deal for $500 million to buy defective face masks from China through a company that was formed just 3 or 4 days earlier by a bunch of his lobbyist friends. And it turns out he paid way more money for these defective face masks than did, say, the L.A. mayor, Eric Garcetti, who bought a bunch of face masks at pennies on the dollar. So you add up the incompetence, the arrogance, the rising crime, rising homelessness, outrageous rise in the cost of living, and the forest mismanagement, the rolling brownouts, the water shortages. It's all come to roost under this guy's management.
So, Larry, let's talk for a second about what happens if you become governor. So if you become governor, you now face a solid blue wall in the state legislature. The assembly is dominated by Democrats. Two-thirds, I believe they have a two-thirds majority in the state assembly, which means they can basically do whatever they want. They have a veto-proof majority. So what exactly do you have the power to do? What exactly can you stop? Or are you stepping into a situation that's almost no win? It's just, you know, you do what you can.
Well, I don't believe that. Otherwise, I wouldn't be running. And I spoke with former Governor Pete Wilson about this very same thing. And this may surprise you, Ben, but there have been lots of bills that have been vetoed under Arnold Schwarzenegger, even under Jerry Brown. And not a single vetoed bill has been overridden in California in 40 years. Turns out, once you veto something, you explain to Californians why the bill was a job killer, why it was stupid. And lo and behold, the lawmakers don't have the gumption to override the veto. I also have the ability to declare a statewide emergency, which I intend to do regarding water, regarding housing. I have the ability to have a line item veto. And as you know, the commissioners in California are very, very powerful. commissioners like the Coastal Commission, like the Public Utilities Commission. I'm going to appoint people that are far more sensible. I have the power to declare a legislative special session, so I have to deal with just one issue at a time. And of course, I have the bully pulpit. So you add all those things up, you can really reverse some bad things here in California.
We'll get some more of Larry Elder in just 1 second. First, let us talk about a simple fact. If you're a responsible person, you need life insurance. I mean, you never know what's going to happen next in life. You could be walking down the street and suddenly a hippopotamus launched from a catapult just lands directly on you. And as you lie there bleeding out, you think to yourself, man, should have had life insurance. Well, if you wish to avoid this gruesome fate, not the death, but the not having life insurance, you could head on over to Policy Genius right now. Policy Genius makes it easy to compare quotes from over a dozen top insurers all in one place. Why compare? Well, you could save 50% or more on life insurance by comparing quotes with Policy Genius. You could save $1,300 or more per year on life insurance by using Policy Genius to compare policies. The licensed experts at Policy Genius do work for you, not the insurance companies. You can trust them to help you navigate every step of the shopping and buying process. Eligible applicants can get covered in as little as a week, thanks to an award-winning policy option that swaps that standard medical exam requirement for a simple phone call. That exclusive policy was recently rated number one by Forbes. That's higher than options from Ladder, Ethos, and Bestow. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro. In minutes, you can work out how much life insurance coverage you need, compare personalized quotes, and find your best price. Head on over to policygenius.com/Shapiro to get started right now. Policy Genius. When it comes to insurance, it's nice and important to get it right. So why don't we go down sort of your agenda as governor? You know, there are a lot of issues that you just mentioned, and we haven't even touched the fact that California is probably $1 trillion in debt, given all of its unfunded liabilities, and has right. The world's highest tax, I mean, certainly the country's highest tax rates. So what do you handle first? I mean, you're looking at just a rather large pile of problems here.
Well, one of the first things I'm going to do is, to the extent that there are mandates for state workers, for example, to be tested once a week and to wear face masks at work, which Gavin Newsom just handed down, I'm going to repeal that before I have my first cup of coffee. Also, as I said, I'm going to declare a statewide emergency on water, a statewide emergency on housing, because part of the homeless problem is because we don't have enough low-cost housing apartments for people once they're treated, once they get up off the streets. And I'm going to absolutely do something about the schools. There's going to be a ballot initiative in November to set up ESAs, education savings accounts. So the $15,000 per student per year that we're spending will go into an account that the parent can control. The parent can put the kid in a charter school, a private school, a religious school, or even use the money for homeschooling. So those are some of the things I'm going to be doing once I get up there.
So, Larry, let's talk about the full frontal assault that you've now had to endure from the media. It is pretty astonishing how fast you became a white supremacist as soon as you declared that you were going to run for office. So, number one, congratulations on finally receiving your white privilege diploma in the mail. I'm eager to welcome you to the White People Club. As a Jew, you're now welcome in the minorities who are now considered white, even though they're not actually white club. So I want to get your thoughts on being one of the only black white supremacists in America, according to a columnist for the LA Times.
Well, I worked very hard for that title, Ben. Thank you. Actually, I've been called the black face of white supremacy. I've also been accused of hating women because I wrote an article 21 years ago where I cited a study from the Annenberg School of Journalism, which is connected with the University of Pennsylvania. They asked women and men 25 questions about politics. Men knew more than women did in 15. They knew the same in 9. And women knew more than one. And I was just citing that study. Therefore, I hate women. The headline of the article was "The She Issues." And she stands for Social Security, healthcare, and education. Turned out women knew more, cared more about that. Men cared more about the economy, about taxes, and about foreign policy. And I quoted a female professor who's still there. And she said the reason women knew less than men did on these topics is because they get their primary source of news from local news. And she said, I didn't, quote, watching local news makes you dumber, close quote. So I was attributed to that comment when, as I said, I didn't say it, she did. And so therefore, Larry Elder hates women. Larry Elder is the black face of white supremacy who hates women.
And then, of course, you've seen these articles from the LA Times trying to basically gin up the notion that you've committed some sort of grave illegality. And of course, the headline goes out, it was about a campaign fundraising issue, I believe. But it was an issue that crops up in almost literally every single campaign and is quickly fixed. It didn't matter. The LA Times ran with it. It immediately started trending on Twitter because that's what Twitter does.
Right. I was something called Form 700, which I never heard of. And you have to fill that out in order to run for office. And it turns out that I did not fully declare that I own 100% of my corporation called Lawrence A. Elder & Associates. So we quickly fixed it. It was minor, but for 2 or 3 days, it was Elder is evading, fully disclosing his financials. It was just completely nonsense.
And then, Larry, there is also this attempt to go after you for your personal life. and your dating life. And I wonder if you wanted to respond to that a little bit.
Well, just nothing in there is true. I've never waved a gun loaded or unloaded at anybody. And beyond the rest of it, it's just almost too silly to mention. Also, you forgot that I was also accused of being a self-loathing black man because of a joke I told in a comedy club 27 years ago. The butt of the joke was F. Lee Bailey, and the premise was that F. Lee Bailey was enjoying saying the N-word in open court as he was cross-examining Mark Furman. A black radio station left out the premise and just had me saying a bunch of racial epithets, and therefore, Larry Elder is not only the black face of white supremacy who hates women, he also is a self-loathing black man who is the black face of white supremacy who hates women.
So, Larry, the desperation of your opposition must be encouraging to you, because they only really start throwing the kitchen sink at people when there's a real possibility the person might win.
Well, that's right. And then, of course, there's been the attack on the recall process itself. It's been called unconstitutional, even though it's been in the California Constitution for 110 years. And the anger is that I could possibly win with as little as 20% or so of the total amount of votes. But they didn't seem to care about democracy when they impeached Donald Trump twice with virtually zero Republican support. But all of a sudden, it's not fair for a minority of people to have their way.
We'll get to more of Larry Elder in just one moment. First, if you're like most of us, you probably carry a balance on your credit cards. And here's the thing. If you do, and you do that for a significant period of time, you will end up behind the eight ball in just insane, extraordinary ways because the interest rate on your credit card is probably ridiculous. Well, right now, you could lower your interest rate and save with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at 5.93% APR with autopay and excellent credit. The rate is fixed. It'll never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. There are absolutely no fees. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream believes people with good credit deserve a better loan experience. That's exactly what they deliver. So, just for my listeners, apply right now. Get a special interest rate discount. Save even more. The only way to get that discount? Head on over to lightstream.com/Shapiro. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/Shapiro. Subject credit approval. Rates range from 5.93% APR to 19.99% APR. Include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply. Offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Shapiro for more information. So Larry, what do you think would be the implications for the California Republican Party if Newsom were to be recalled? Because one of the things that we saw is there were some kind of Republican hopes in the aftermath of Gray Davis's recall and Schwarzenegger becoming governor. And he, of course, served a couple of terms as governor. There was this sort of feeling when that first happened that maybe this was the comeback for the California Republican Party. And then it turns out that Schwarzenegger presided over what was almost certainly a massive downslide for the California Republican Party. He governed as essentially a centrist Democrat as opposed to a Republican, and which means the last real Republican governor that we've had was, in fact, Pete Wilson, and that's been two decades. What would it mean for the Republican Party? And do you think that Republican Party could, you know, spring back into some form of real robust existence were you governor?
I really do. What happened with Arnold Schwarzenegger is he came out of Hollywood, Ben, and he was used to people loving on him. He was a Terminator. And once he began making mild criticisms about the teachers' unions and mild criticisms about the nurses' union, he completely caved and he went to the left. I'm used to people calling me names. I'm used to people calling me an Uncle Tom. I'm not going up there to make friends. I have no illusions. I'm going to be in court from day one. But the other thing that will happen, in my opinion, is this. Because I'm from the inner city, because I went to public schools, because I can talk to regular people in regular ways, I think I'm going to improve the brand of the Republican Party. I think people are going to find out that I've got common sense, and many of these problems that we're facing could be resolved with common sense, and I think it will improve the Republican brand. But the other big thing that will happen is this. A lot of people feel that Dianne Feinstein mentally is in worse shape than Joe Biden. No one's seen her in weeks, if not months. And there's a good chance that once I become governor, she may no longer be senator. And as you know, we have a 50-50 split in the Senate in Washington, D.C. So this would be a profound policy shift and power shift if I appoint a Republican successor, which I most certainly will do if and when Dianne Feinstein vacates that position.
I very much look forward to Senator Dennis Prager from the state of California if you become governor, Larry. Now, after the recall election, you have basically a year, right? Because there's another election in 2022 that is up. So that doesn't give you a whole hell of a lot of time. Can Gavin Newsom, I assume he can, run for election in 2022 if he gets recalled in 2021?
I assume he can. But during that time, again, you're going to find a common sense guy, a guy who understands California, a guy who's going to be able to tackle some of the problems. And if there's an appreciable improvement in the lives of people, I'm going to be overwhelmingly elected for a full term. So I'm not worried about that.
Well, Larry Elder, he is running for governor to replace Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom is in some trouble here, and we can only hope and pray that we get past round one in which he's recalled, because Larry Elder would then likely end up as governor of California, which would just be hysterically funny and wonderful in every possible way. Larry, how can people help out the campaign?
They can go to electelder.com, electelder.com, because my opponent can raise and spend an unlimited amount of money, Ben. And he's already raised about $50 million from the usual suspects, the teachers union, the public sector unions, Hollywood and big tech. I'm going to be outspent probably 10 to 1. But so many people are angry. And even if they cheat, and I'm worried about that, I still think we're going to win. So go to electelder.com, electelder.com. Throw a little something in the tip jar. Let's try and make this a fair fight.
Well, go check it out right now. And again, I could not be getting more enjoyment out of this. It's almost enough to make me want to move back to California if they elect Larry Elder governor. I say almost because Florida is pretty great. Larry, thanks for the time.
I think Senator Ben Shapiro has a nice ring to it too, don't you?
Oh, man. Oh, no. Larry, appreciate it.
Got it. Thanks, man.
Did you know a baby's heart begins to beat at just 3 weeks? At 5 weeks, the heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. This can sometimes be a baby's only defense in the womb, because when moms who are considering abortion hear that baby's heartbeat via ultrasound, they're twice as likely to choose life. Preborn rescues 200 babies every day from abortion by simply providing moms with ultrasounds. By 6 weeks, a baby's eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby's elbows and knees are able to bend. Preborn needs your help to save these precious lives. Preborn is out there on the front lines. They're helping women choose life. Please consider sponsoring one ultrasound for just $28 and save a life today. Or if you have the means, consider a leadership gift of $5,000. That tax-deductible gift will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours and help rescue 200 innocent lives. Go to preborn.com/Ben to donate today. It's the most important thing you're going to do today, maybe ever, because saving lives doesn't get more important than that. Go to preborn.com/Ben. These ultrasounds are, in fact, life-saving. Moms meet their babies long before they're born. When they meet their baby, it makes it a lot harder for them to get an abortion. Go to preborn.com/Ben or dial #250 and say keyword baby. That's #250 baby.